Ramble.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Oi, I'm British and I'm in London for Christmas. Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the show that loves what it loves. Today, we're talking about The Holiday, the Kate Winslet, Jack Black, Cameron Diaz, Jude Law holiday classic. Guys, do you feel that little chill in the air? It's that time of year where it's appropriate to start thinking about Christmas time. And not the day after Halloween, you fucking heathens. But now,
put my Christmas decorations up November 1st.
Really?
Yeah, my whole house is decorated already. I put candy canes out, got a ladder, put lights up.
I am a firm believer in doing it at the appropriate time, which is after Thanksgiving.
But you get to enjoy it for like 10 days then.
Yeah.
That's not enough time.
And then by the time it gets to Christmas, you're like, I'm sick of this shit.
I would leave Christmas lights up, no joke, in my house all fucking year round. They just make me feel good.
It made me feel sad after Christmas because it's just like, oh, I'm done with Christmas. I'm done with that day. It's past. Fuck. Now we have nothing else to look forward to.
Valentine's Day?
No.
New Year's?
New Year's, I guess.
Easter?
No.
Guys, we're talking about The Holiday. It's one of those modern rom-com classics that makes you feel good inside. And Kelsey, this is not an official selection of yours, but this is a fave. Go off, queen.
This
tell me about
movie
it.
Is the perfect encapsulation of what it feels like to be a woman, period, against a man, period. It's somehow you can relate to every single character. You've dated the men that are in this. You're rooting for them. You see yourself in them, so you're mad at them at certain points. And somehow it is a holiday film because they are switching houses over holiday time. Christmas specifically, I'll say it. But this movie, The Holiday, I do not know how this could possibly have the rating that it does on Rotten Tomatoes, considering we have Cameron motherfucking Diaz, Kate motherfucking Winslet, Jack motherfucking Black, Jude motherfucking Law, Dustin fucking motherfucking Hostin, James motherfucking Franco, the guy from Office, fucking
James Krasinski,
the girl from Bad Moms. Like, this is a
Agatha's all along up in
thank
this
you.
Shit.
Thank yeah. you. Like, Catherine the Hahn. Fact that Catherine Hahn, like, this movie is so fucking good. I dare either one of you to say something bad about it. This is The Holiday. Well, I don't know. We didn't give a synopsis. You want to do it?
But is this one of those movies that you watch every year? Mm-hmm. You strike me, Kelsey, as someone who's like, when the leaves start turning, proverbially speaking, we live in LA and it's always the fucking same here. You have your movie, your DVD collection that you roll out and you go, oh, it's time to make some hot cocoa and watch
If you
the
don't
holiday.
Think that I drank some Zaddyco Mission Chill last night in bed with my cats, just snuggled all the way up, you are out of your goddamn mind. This is like the perfect sick movie. This is a perfect feel-good movie. This is a perfect family movie. This is a perfect holiday movie. Yeah. This doesn't leave a single box unchecked.
Unchecked.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Garrick, you think this movie is just
I think it's so
you do?
Cute. I think it's very cute. I don't think it's bad or anything like that. I think it's mid. I think it's pretty mid.
You just used the word mid to describe a film.
Yeah,
okay, got
it. I think
it's
pretty mid. I think it's it's almost Bridget Jones's Diary. And so on and so forth. I'm sorry.
Okay, so just so you know, I told you guys this in group chat last night. I have three movies that I've ever bought to keep in my iTunes library. It is Harry Potter 1, Harry Potter 3, and The Holiday.
Nice. Those are the good picks of the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
And you could have also just But Love Actually, that's another one you could have purchased.
I watched that for the first time when I started dating Jared. And for some reason, yeah, no, I had never seen it. I had heard about it so much in the zeitgeist that I was like, I fucking get it. But I think it's, that one's a little too broad for me.
It's too many characters.
It's too many. This is the perfect fucking amount. This is four people. This is two women switching lives over the holidays to escape their fears. And they run into the lives that they actually want.
Yeah.
It's
and one of their fears is the fact that they can't cry.
You basically just nailed the synopsis, but I'll take it from there. You've got Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz are two unlucky out of love girls. Mm-hmm. Cameron Diaz works in Los Angeles as a high powered movie trailer exec.
Yes.
And she's coming off of a bad breakup. Kate Winslet, she's a writer in the countryside of Britain, and she has a little Bridget Jones situation where she's in love with her boss, but her boss is engaged to someone else. Ugh, what are they gonna do? If only they could just step out. They go online and they decide to switch houses. Kate goes to Los Angeles. Cameron goes to the British countryside where there Cameron falls in love with the beautiful, charming Hottie McHotterson, Jude Law, and Kate falls in love with an old man through which she gets to meet Jack Black.
How dare you? Jack Black deserves better.
This is the holiday. Where do you want to
start,
Kelsey?
Where can't we start? Let's just start with the feel goodness of this all, okay? Yeah. This, you have to understand from a woman's perspective, this is like our Adventure Time. I don't know. I'm trying to relate to you. Like whatever, like a man's dream is going away to a foreign, but yet comfortable where you can cozy up in bed and forget about work responsibilities, comfortable enough to where you can flirt a little bit. Cause you're just not in your regular area.
This is your forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yes, sure. I love that film. I love that movie. It's like you,
that's fucking
you
perfect.
Feel so high the whole time in wish fulfillment in two different ways, right? Because you have both of them are love sick in different ways. Mm-hmm. You've got Kate Winslet's character is the codependent. She can't let go of this guy who kind of drags her along, that gaslights her throughout the relationship. She's a love addict, you might want to say, which we've all girls have been there. And then you've got Cameron Diaz, who is the commitment.
Tell me about
who's
it.
Who's the commitment phobe, who her like funny character trait is that she's never cried.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like, and I'm making her quotes because we know this is all bullshit, patriarchal constructed gender bullshit, but she's like the man. She's like
she's the breadwinner in her household.
Yeah. She's the boss. She has no emotion. She doesn't want to get committed and attached. Yeah. And so for both of them to be able to exchange lives is like, every girl just wants to get up and be swept away and find a foreign love and,
tell me
you get it. Does this tickle your fancy at all?
Oh yeah. I mean, again, it's forgetting Sarah Marshall. It's the same
but that's
situation.
Based around a breakup.
I know, as is this.
Wait, you're right.
Yeah,
it just seems sadder.
So okay, so my whole thing about this movie is that I feel like it was two stories that she wrote, and she was like, I'm gonna join them at the hip. You know, like just, I'm gonna put them together. Fine, fuck it. Yeah. And that'll be 2 hours. But I do think that it was like 30 minutes a little, it was 30 minutes too long.
I didn't get enough of this,
Because of the fact that it was like the switching lives thing. If you separated both of them, it would be honestly, like an hour. And you'd be like, oh, that's not enough movie, but you put them together, now you have two. And
it's an interesting format.
Honestly, Nancy Myers, one of the greats. We
it's
stand.
Complicated.
She was like,
stuff.
Yo, what if I just write two half movies and still
get
paid
for it?
No,
and
but
honestly,
I
she gamed the system.
Good for
she
her.
Both
I'm
of you.
On board.
You're not getting it.
No, I'm on board.
It's not that she wrote two half movies. She wrote one woman two ways. Like, I have been the Kate Winslet. Okay. I have been the Cameron Diaz. I have fallen in love with the Jack Black. Right. I have chased after the guy that didn't want me. I've chased after the guy that had baggage. Like, she was able to wish fulfill and like
two different
or
the opposite ends of the spectrum of one
because
woman.
You're not one person. Like, you're not one type of lover. No, you're like just men coming out of your life that enamor you and fuck you up, and then a woman comes away and you're like, whoa, I like the taste of pussy. Right. What's happening? And it's like you see
rather than having one woman choosing between two, you just have both of them and you see the whole wish fulfillment of both.
And you can see things before they're coming because you're like, oh, I know this type of girl, or like, that's just like my friend, or like, oh, I've had a gal pal in that scenario.
Yeah.
So she's just able to cover the swath of love and womanhood in a way that is like, bitch, when I tell you the fucking wind had a character of love, I was like, she just, she knows how to write love aesthetic.
She's an incredible writer.
So well.
Yeah.
First fucking pleasure. Yo. Okay. This movie does not waste any time. Cameron Diaz gets to the countryside. Knock, knock. Oh, shit. Jude Law's at the door. He has a beautiful spray tan face, even though they are in the coldest, most desolate place I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, they probably put that tan on them, that tan on him because of how gray London is, or whatever the fuck
the movie is. Stone cabin she goes to.
And they're just like, we just gotta.
London has never looked warmer than in this movie.
Just based on Jude Law's
complexion. Everybody was warm. Cameron Diaz's eyes were so blue.
Oh my God.
I was like, did they just turn up the blues on the camera, on the edit? Like, who did the color pass of this shit?
It was too late for me to text in the group chat last night. But all I could think about was when you discovered Zach's blue eyes for the first time. That's like, I felt like I just discover the color blue for the first time.
You're just like, oh my God.
Jesus. I thought
she's like White Walker status.
She was like some kind of glowing eye, electric powered character. And I was just like, is this a superhero movie? I don't know. I'm not sure. She's about to shoot some shit out of her eyes.
Yes.
But they were extremely blue.
Yes.
Also, side note, I thought we were watching Shallow Hal. And it's not that.
That's a guilty pleasure that I feel like if we did that as an episode, we'd get canceled. We would get 100%. Written off of YouTube.
But I was like, oh, I know. We'll do it the holiday is the one with Jack Black and he's a love interest. Is that Shallow Hal? I don't think we should watch Shallow Hal.
No.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
No, that was the other one that I kept thinking of is the Queen Latifah holiday one, where she finds out she's having.
She's dying. Right?
Okay, you did.
Yeah, no, that's but that's a premise.
And she like spends all her money to go to Europe, and I was like, there is a fulfillment type of around the holidays.
Yeah, you do
getting the fuck out of your regular routine and being just completely swept up in like a crazy whirlwind romance that you get. In this.
But that's my first pleasure. Movie begins. Knock, knock on the door. Okay, obviously a lot of rom-coms are going to do the, oh, will they, won't they? We're going to tease it out. Jack Black and Kate Winslet, it's that slow burn. Yeah. But you're going to put that hunk of man Jude Law in this movie? Uh-uh. They fucking in the first scene. Let's go, like, baby.
I'm here to fuck.
I'm on board.
And so a big twist, a big spoiler that's Jude Law's character is that he is the brother of Kate Winslet, whose house Cameron Diaz is staying at. So he doesn't know that she's switched lives with this woman.
But and then they kept that from the audience as if to say like, oh, this is going to be a huge thing. And then it wasn't.
Are you kidding me? The three-way phone call scene with Kate Winslet was the best fucking scene of all time.
It was fun. Yeah, that was fun. But it like, didn't like change anything. They were still fucking around.
She found out her brother's
Bruce Willis at the end of Six Sense.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But can I say something about the men in this movie too? Because There is a type of guy that I wrote about that I can only describe as the plain face actor man.
Yeah.
The only way I can describe them is that they are English and they're either like the second leaning man, but don't also the prince in like medieval movies.
That's hilarious.
And you know exactly the type of fucking guy.
Tom Wansgatz. Tom Wansgatz from Succession played... My God, is it Mr. Darcy in? Yeah.
Same
thing.
Plain face, British guy.
But also Renaissance man.
Yeah, and as soon as you put sideburns on him,
he's
handsome.
A king.
He's a king.
You give him a cape, and that's who Kate Winslet's boss was to me. I don't know that actor's name.
Oh, thank you. Jasper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That dude. That dude's fucking pube hair. Like, I was like, this is the guy? This is the guy that's stealing Kate Winslet away
Kate
from me.
Fucking
Kate motherfucking Winslet. I wrote down that it's the greatest actress of all time.
I wrote down.
Fucking mayor of motherfucking Eastown. You're going to tell me?
Let's fucking go.
Motherfucking
see, that's what the
Eternal
fuck
Sunshine,
this is
Kate Winslet
Zach,
is getting this is fucking dickstified
because
over
he
this
knows.
Jasper fucking plain face bitch
ass. He fucking knows. Oh my God. He's got beautiful fucking eyes for a reason.
I'm so
Kate
happy.
Winslet is so I'm out of so the league happy. Of both of the men that she fucks with and the movie itself. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Kate Hard Winslet, pause.
You went from Titanic to this.
She looks good.
This she is
looks
after great. Eternal she Sunshine, looks Garrick. She this looks is after Eternal
is
Sunshine.
She's as good as Eternal Sunshine.
You need to, oh my God. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Both
are
you of
out
you
of
can't
your fucking
leave.
Mind?
Okay, this has turned into Kelsey Darrow's podcast, Just Pleasures, and it's
are you
just
kidding
me talking about how Kate Winslet is perfect
are
for this
you
film.
Kidding?
No!
You know, she, I, her and Cameron Diaz, it was the first time I believed her and Cameron Diaz were on the same fucking level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of what?
So you agree with me?
Of what?
This movie made me believe of both of them.
Both being humans?
No, both being good actors. Like, I saw them too, and this.
Oh, I'm going to put a big old pin
I'm
in
just
that.
Saying.
Yeah, let's put a pin in that.
Listen. Back to plain faced men. You got,
yeah,
you got Kate Winslet's boss, plain faced guy. And then you've got that Cameron Diaz's ex boyfriend who she punches twice in the face, which I kind of fucking love it. She punches him right in the face. Both plain faced guys.
Yeah.
It's like, what do they bring to the table? She's a high powered movie executive. And the only thing that could fulfill and satiate her baby blues is a big old English guy.
Big old English guy.
No American guy could fucking live up to her that standard. You have to have this like British exotic spray tan
but
motherfucker.
I do like that it kind of like touched on how she could only love somebody who add it to the whimsy of her life. You know, like somebody's got to be far off. He's got to be very unavailable. All of this pretty much unavailable because of how far away he is. And we're just wrapped up in
this
whirlwind romance and all of that stuff. And that's the only thing that could really fill that romance void that she has because she's at such a high level.
And to the opposite of that is Kate Winslet with Jack Black is that she's kind of like this love addict, love sick, can't see herself anywhere else. And she has to physically remove herself and move across the country to find the stable, available, emotionally available man.
But here's the thing I got to say about that with Jude Law. Okay. And that this is what fully makes this movie a fantasy is that a man that good looking in a small town cannot be trusted. A man who is that beautiful living in a tiny British countryside. He, in real life, he's a nightmare.
Okay. I mean, he is in a small town.
No, he's not. But,
or he is in a town, let's say. Whatever. He is off to himself in that fucking cottage. Okay. But he has two girls.
Yeah, he has two children. That,
like, all he cares about is his little girl. So I'm guessing he doesn't have a lot of time to date. And he's just out there. Because he's not going to be fucking around. Because also, I don't know if you guys remember this. This is my, the first or second episode of the podcast, my true fantasy. A widowed father.
You said that.
Are you kidding me?
You did say
you
that.
You would as soon as he came on screen and he had those little girls.
Sequoia, turn off the podcast. Yeah, yeah, this isn't for you.
I'm not that I'm gonna kill Sequoia.
I just don't want her to hear that your dream is to be a single father, so you're more desirable.
No one was insinuating that.
Yeah, we don't want her to die.
I don't want her to die. Yeah. Of course, I don't want her to
die. But if she did, you would be never thinking
you were going to kill her.
I wouldn't be thrilled, but I do think it's a good look.
You would be drowning in pussy, sorry.
It is a good look on any man. From the outside, from the outside looking in. From the outside looking in, as soon as that door opened and you saw those little girls and you saw the way that Cameron Diaz, her face melted, and she was like, oh.
Wait, but okay, can I ask, because you had seen this before, right?
I'd never seen
it. If your question is yes, I did moan when the door opened. I went, oh,
yeah, there it is.
See, but so Zach, you hadn't seen it before.
This was my first time.
I thought it was such a good rug pull moment where the whole time you think that. You think he is a fuckboy in this little town, hot guy, and then you hear about Olivia, and you hear about whatever the other daughter's name is. Did you know he was talking about his kids?
Can I tell you what?
Yeah!
I didn't see it. I didn't see it coming in at all.
Myers.
It didn't come. I didn't see it coming in at all. Yes. I thought it was, you know, either people he's dated or.
Do I need to be the one to say this, or is someone else going to bring it up that both of the children weren't the cutest?
Oh, no.
Are you? Is that mean? Is that mean? Mine? Is that mean?
Do I have to be the one to say it?
Are you out of your mind? Huh. Blonde hair, blue eyes, cute little American girl doll cut bangs. Shut the fuck up.
I thought they were adorable. I thought they were very cute.
Zachary, what is your idea of cute child?
Bowie.
I'm going to show you a baby picture of me as a baby.
I know what you look like. You look like an old woman. I know what your baby was.
not when I was an adolescent. Okay. I hit a fucking cliff side. I'm talking baby Zach.
I'm sorry.
Garrick's little nephew, he's adorable.
Yeah. Oh, you have cute. Shamir. You have a whole cute family.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Kelsey, I feel like you're not, forgive me for saying this, you don't love children, but him as a daddy, did that still do it for you?
Fuck right. Yes. When Jared holds my goddaughter, I'm instantly like, I'm another woman. I am ready to reproduce. I am here to be evolutionarily only. Yeah. And then I wake the fuck up and go like, oh, wait, we're overpopulated and I'm bisexual and busy. But abso-fucking-lu- there's a sensitivity. And let me say this, a fucking like, there's a humanness to being able to take care of another human.
Yeah.
Like a dog, hot.
Fair.
You know, roommates, not so hot. Children, very hot.
Yeah. And they both seem very mild-mannered and all of this stuff. And they felt like they were fed well.
Smart.
Yeah. And he's like, I've been handling this for 2 years and it's totally fine.
They seem like they're fucking done with that, calling them ugly.
Yeah, you called them ugly, so you can't be mean to them at all.
You can't say shit.
But like, they seem the house was clean, all kinds of shit.
Yes,
it just seemed like he had his shit together while also his life was kind of falling apart.
Yeah, because he is.
Have you guys ever met a parent, let alone a single parent? Yeah. The idea that Jude Law could be this beautifully coiffed.
Yeah.
And with two little girls running around at home, in what fucking universe?
He did make a statement that confused the shit out of me. Because, spoiler alert, he's a widower, so his wife died 2 years.
And very good spelling on that man to be able to just spell it immediately.
W-I-D-O-W-E-R. Very good speller. But he says something when, at the end, spoiler alert, Cameron Diaz is like, I am going to stay for New Year's. It doesn't make sense for me to go home. And it's because she's in love with him. And he says, I have the girls for New Year's Eve, which makes me think, who the fuck has them the rest of the time?
Probably like the grandmother of the...
You think?
Of the widow?
Dead wife?
I think it was the grandparents, but that line also confused the fuck out of me. And it's like a little convenient, right? The kids are there
double
when
the grandma. Yeah. Now, so.
Cause he's also like being able to date and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So we're putting a lot of love on Jude Law, but I would love to go to the other side of the equation because what delights me about this movie so much is that the consensus out in the world is that the true hottie of this film is none other than Mr. Jack Black.
Yes,
and to say that,
Yes,
fucking
sir.
Warms yeah. my because, heart like none yeah.
because
other.
When he gets on screen, everybody's like, who, if you didn't know that Jack Black was Jack Black back in the day, I'm probably sure you did not.
Nope.
But you see him come on the camera, on the screen, and you're like, why the fuck is he even standing near Kate Winslet? And then you're like, I fucking love this dude. He's, at the end of, like, yeah. by the end of the movie, by like, I mean, by the video store scene.
Yes, when he like, sees his current girlfriend yeah, cheating on him.
Yeah.
Even though just, he was on a date with Kate Winslet, no one's going to say it.
No, it was emotional cheating.
Yep.
But...
no, I'm just gonna say it wasn't just, exactly a good guy.
It wasn't great. It's still so nice to see, yeah. like just a normal guy. Yeah. And I'm not saying that he's like unattractive. He's no. just a guy that you would see
a regular fucking
dating
guy.
Someone.
Yeah, it's not Jude motherfucking.
But, the sweetest but the sweetest man of
and just
all
a genuine
time.
Guy. You know, yeah. like he's just walking around yeah. singing his little tunes. It's yeah. deep, deep, deep. And
he's a nerd.
Yeah, he's
but he's a successful
he's an
nerd
earnest
who's
nerd.
Very passionate, and that's what gets me. Is like, I never fucking understood shit about music, and when I heard Jared talk about music, I was like taking my pants off. I was right. like, whatever you say, person, I'm yeah. obsessed with you talking about your passion.
Because we love seeing masters of their craft. Of their craft.
Yes,
you love watching them. That's why anybody watches like I don't know House Hunters or some bullshit or like Makeover a House. 10,000 or what, you know, Ice Road Truck. Let's say Ice Road Truckers.
Okay, there you go. A specific where it's
just
identity.
Like, yeah, everybody went yes. out of their way to yes. watch that because it's just like, damn, they're driving the fuck out of those trucks on that ice.
yeah.
That's crazy. They're so fucking good at it. I can't believe it. Because you just want to see a master do something. Yeah. You watch Chef's Table. It's like, oh my God, yeah. look at how
it's
good
sexy.
They made this. It is.
It's an aphrodisiac to watch him be goofy about music composition, which right. I don't know if we said that, but the reason why Jack Black comes to
he's a composer.
The door is
he's
because he works with Cameron Diaz in the trailer business.
He scores yes. Films.
Yeah, he does.
And then by the end of the movie, he scores. Hey. You know, what I also think makes him so attractive is that he is so cluelessly sexless. For yeah. the first, yeah. like,
he's
in
really,
comparison
yeah,
to Jude
he's
Law.
Really just,
so, like, Jude Law is there to fucking
yeah,
smash,
got big old
right?
cock.
But Jack Black, so, it actually kind of drove me crazy a couple times where he just was like, he would be like, wow, you look so beautiful yeah. today, but had no intention no. of yeah. sex behind that, which is not how real
no,
men
but he
work.
Was being platonic because yes. he had a girlfriend.
Yes. And that's what was where, nice
right.
to see.
Right. It was a very nice, like, relationship there. And then she found herself, like, slipping into yep. love with him or, yeah. like with him. And and then she realized, oh, no, he is in a relationship. This yeah. is, like, a platonic thing I keep on forgetting.
Yeah.
And that I think that was really cool about their relationship.
Okay, but like when he kissed her on the cheek twice and lingered, like
he
that
had
motherfucker
been drinking
knew he was
wine.
Doing, right?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. He was emotionally cheating before the girlfriend was cheating.
He knew that motherfucker yeah. knew.
He knew what he was doing. But I will give it to you that what I think like pushed Kate Winslet's character over the edge past like, okay, this could be something more, was seeing his struggle with the girlfriend cheating. Like yeah. seeing a man, first of all, being diminished, embarrassed, yeah. humiliated like that. Like you have a choice as a woman to either go like, I'm so fucking turned off by that, like ew, run, or have empathy and sympathy and like open your heart and say like, oh my God, you must be so hurt. And that vulnerability, like that wall crushing moment, I think was really, and then to see it again when the ex-girlfriend calls and is like, I miss you, I need you, I love you. And she's crushed again because she's watching this person that she has now built this weird trauma bond mm-hmm. become human and make a mistake and go back to someone that wasn't good for him. It's like that to me is the realism I got out of Jack Black's character that you don't get with yeah. the Jude Law fantasy. Like he's basically has like a ring glowing around him the entire fucking time.
Can I give a fucking shout out, by the way, to the actress that plays Jack Black's ex-lover by the end. Her name is Shannon Sossaman. I don't know her from much. She was in this. She was in Knight's Tale. I think she is one of the most beautiful people. And I fucking love her. And I feel like we were robbed of her being a true star. And her name is Maggie in this movie. And I feel like contractually I'm allowed to lust yes. after Maggie's.
Except
so I was fucking... Just like the fact that Jack Black was hitting... fucking Sashimon or whatever her name is, and then getting with Kate Winslet, I'm like, Jack Black's having the time of his life.
Because he's a genuine
movie.
Guy that is really good at his craft.
Yeah,
he's the best.
Yeah, he was successful and had money. Let's not forget that.
I think it's also really funny in that video store scene, the first composer he brings up is Hans Zimmer, who scored the film.
There you go. And well, you're perfectly segueing into the next moment that makes me want to bring up another pleasure, which is that in that blockbuster scene, he also picks up The Graduate, and then it cuts to Dustin motherfucking Hoffman for a 3-second cameo, which blows my fucking mind that because Kate Winslet's Kate motherfucking Winslet. She probably called all of her friends and was like, hey, remember me from Titanic? Come be in my movie for 5 seconds. The other amazing cameo that we get is Lindsay Lohan and James Franco in a trailer of Cameron Diaz's movie.
Yeah.
It's a this is great. It's how is this getting so a bad review? Can either of you tell me why?
Because it's two lesser movies stitched together.
Well, let's talk about that fake trailer. It's so good.
Yeah.
You have this alternate reality action movie where, what is the plot of the movie? Like Lindsay Lohan's
was
dad.
A spy.
Do you remember it?
And then now she became the target because her dad was a spy.
That's honestly one of my true guilts of the movie is that they did not give me more. Like the fact that they didn't give me a post-credit scene of what that movie is. It's so seeing James Franco and Lindsay Lohan. Just anytime you sprinkle a little bonus Lilo into a movie.
Yeah.
Fuck
and this was 2006. This was like primo Lilo.
Yeah.
I don't even think James.
Primo
I don't
Lilo.
Even think James Franco wasn't big was at that point. Big. And he shouldn't be big now, but you know, that's for another conversation. But to get Dustin Hoffman, to get the Hans Zimmer reference, like, I also like that this was a Hollywood self, like, introspective to a degree where that didn't feel forced or wrong, which is why I don't know how this movie got such a bad fucking review.
But also, I mean, it was that, and I do love that they had, like, the little WGA awards and all that stuff. I really like that, but... Do you make that much off of cutting trailers?
When I tell you, that's what I wanted my dream job to be, was to make movie trailers. I don't think you make that much.
You don't, right?
She had a mansion with a pool.
Yeah, please look at that.
Let's talk about that. Because we could call this a guilt. We could call it a pleasure because it's part of what makes the movie so good. But they switch houses, okay? Cameron Diaz goes to
a
fucking cottage. She goes to a cottage
core.
Cute cottage. Kate Winslet gets a $10 million Brentwood mansion. A gated mansion. And do you know how fucking expensive and stunning that house is?
Like
are you
million.
Out of your
that's
mind?
At least.
Yeah.
Miles, no, you have some information about a movie trailer executive?
It ranges, but the middle, so the top 86% of movie trailer editors make $441,000
a year. Oh, wow.
So, that's pretty good.
That's a great job.
She ain't buying that house.
You're not buying that house, though.
That's a great job, but she ain't getting that fucking, that house had two stories, wraparound, like two wings, had a giant
automatic
pool.
Curtain.
It looked like a Fast and Furious villa. If I'm being honest, where it's just
you
like,
just
oh, this is the this is where they roll up and then they get out.
Yeah, relate it back to us.
They get out and then there are girls dancing or like somebody has a huge gun on them, so on and so forth.
And then they're just like walking past them like it's no big deal. Who There's cares? Coke on the table.
Yeah,
there
whatever.
Was an acrylic table in her living room, which I liked. But to your point, Zach,
I did like that.
The houses themselves are a little bit of characters too, right? Like that was such a representation of Los Angeles life and culture. And then this little cottage in Surrey, which Surrey's still a big fucking titty.
Yeah, it's a big titty.
I don't say town
it's
and
a,
city.
It's a Taylor Swift titty. Taylor Swift and cat titty.
It's a Taylor Swift and cat titty. Oh, but like, I have to talk about the moment of switching houses because
it's funny, by the way, Kelsey, my assumption is that the UK is London and then Bumpy.
Yeah. I mean, people might say, tell you that you're right. But there is I was like sitting up in my, you know, even though all the lights were off and it was very late at night, I was up in my bed, like jumping at the scene of them switching houses because when I tell you that scene of Cameron Diaz arriving with her huge bags unpacking everything. That is to a T what women do on staycations. It's like, I'm finally at a house where I can fucking relax. The first thing a man's doing, taking his shirt off, grabbing a beer, sitting outside by the fucking jacuzzi. Women are like, let me clean this already clean house and put my clothes away in an immaculate manner like I'm still at home.
That is Kelsey, because I wrote that down. I'm like, why am I watching her put her suitcase under a bed? I was like, this is, I didn't watch this
when
movie
I
to
tell
work.
You, this looked like
I
a,
didn't go on vacation to work.
Yeah, it's like a direct mirroring of me going up to Big Bear on like a solo, take care of myself weekend, really give myself some time. I get there, I do chores, and then I'm like, I'm bored. I want some dick or drugs. Like, I have no idea what to do with myself after I watch like an entire series and chug 3 bottles of wine. It's like, we're trying to escape ourselves. We're trying to escape, but what we don't realize is we're trying to escape ourselves, and you can never leave yourself.
Oh, God.
You can only go to therapy. You can't keep home exchanging across the country.
This is a spiral.
It is when I go on vacation, I devolve into just a monster. I am the worst version of myself. There's no order. I've never once in my life used the drawers at a hotel room. I take the clothes out of the suitcase and I throw them on the ground. I have a big old pile. And then at the end of the vacation, I grab the pile and I shove it into the bag and it barely zips. And I go, time to go home and take care of this mess I've made.
I just recently discovered the joys of putting your clothes in the drawers.
Yes. Yeah. You were away. You were doing a staycation exotic.
4 months. Oh, God. Anyway, I was there away for 4 months. And the first thing I did was put away my stuff in the drawer. And I was like,
you gotta.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then from there on out, like every time I went away somewhere, I would just take them out and put it in.
It allows a level of sinking in that you didn't realize was a part of the going away process.
Yeah,
because
it's really weird.
To still be living out of your literal suitcase or on the floor,
right.
It still invokes some sort of like,
I don't
neither
live
here nor there-ness.
Yeah. It's just like, I want to live here. I want to pretend that I live here.
Yes.
And I think that putting your stuff away is one of those big steps that you need to take in order to do that.
Wow, he's growing up, you guys.
It's really weird. I thought there I was being ridiculous, and I thought I was turning into an adult person.
You are.
And then apparently that's just what people do.
That's obviously one of the joys of the movie is, and you get not one, but two full life upheaval, wish fulfillment, going somewhere else. Are there any other details in the house that you love?
It just felt so like honest to like not only the characters but the locations themselves. Like, I wanted that cozy little house in Surrey to have mugs that were hung up on the wall.
Cozy.
I wanted like the LA house to have everything mechanical. Like, it just it fucking did it for me.
It's really quite a cozy cabin. I've never lusted for that, but it's hard not to when you're watching this movie.
Oh, that's like all my Pinterest board.
I guess I do now.
I'm really leaning into my fucking gender stereotype this episode. I apologize to everyone. Can I ask
you're
you guys?
You're letting down the ladies.
I know, I really am. They're like, God damn it. But when you watch this movie, you can't help. You become putty to the Nancy Meyer. You just do. Yeah. Can I ask, have either of you, even if only for a few days or weeks, ever fallen in love in another country?
In another country?
Or like not at home.
Yeah. It feels like it's like a camp experience.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, no, I'm going to go through all of this relationship within the span of a month.
Yes.
Or within the span of like 2 weeks.
The highs, the lows, the goofy behavior, the falling in love in this movie. Ah! Felt like I was injecting it straight into my motherfucking veins.
Oh, yeah.
They got it so right. Right? They were like laying in bed, like looking at each other this far away from each other's face. I was like, this is the dumb shit you do when you're living in a fucking fantasy world on vacation. You're in.
Right. That's why Cameron Diaz was just like, oh, I'm just going to throw it all away. Mm-hmm. And not throw it all away, like her relation or her career and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, what's another couple days? Mm-hmm. What's another couple of weeks? Because I mean, she's not seeing that dude again.
Mm-hmm. So I fell in love with a boy in London when I was 17 years old.
Oh.
I went away for a month.
You went on a holiday. You had a holiday.
A holiday. Yeah. It was my birthday month, and the woman who raised me took me over to the UK, and we, surprise, surprise, I come to this cute little UK cottage, and I open the door, and there he is. It's like her sister's son. It's her nephew. My age.
Shut like, the fuck up.
Stunner, very tan. He's half Belizean, half UK. And wow. I was like, oh, and everything moved in slow motion. First guy to ever go down on me ever. Write it in the fucking history book.
Oh my God, he fucking
went down on you?
Mary, that's fucking crazy.
And the first time, and I was just remembering being like, this man is it. This is a man. Granted, I was like 16 at the time, so what did I fucking know about manhood? But
you went from 17 to 16. Let's keep the age going up, not down.
But I was sexually active. Come on, guys. You know where I'm from.
How old is he?
Not 18, so that's all that
there
matters.
There it is. Okay, that is all that matters.
But he took me out to his pub. He showed me around to the stores. I went to a Top Shop for the first time in my life with him. Like these huge moments. And then we'd come back to the house and we'd lay in the bed and just stare at each other and talk about music and movies and shit. And I just remember being like, this is it. And we made the grave mistake of trying to carry on with our relationship after I came back.
That's what does it.
And when I tell you, I signed onto Facebook one day to like just check out what my boo was up to, and he had been tagged in the club with other girls that were all over him, and I sobbed for weeks. I sobbed for weeks. I couldn't believe my European lover had cheated on me so. And I just, I had this fantasy.
A Belizean went down on
other girls. I think that's what makes us childish, you know, where it's just like the fact that you believe that was still going to work.
Oh, Garrick, I didn't just believe it. I looked up for my first year of college to do a study abroad in fucking London for this guy. I was Kate Winslet. But also Cameron Diaz. Do you see what I'm saying?
Girl, I think girls have such such remarkable love stories, and I'm truly jealous.
You guys didn't have the same visual of love.
No, because every time you'd go out and go out of your way and be vulnerable, a girl would drop kick your heart back into your chest.
What?
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
For men?
Yes, camp was horrible.
No,
for us.
Tell me.
Camp fucking...
We were boys,
I don't know.
Kelsey.
I genuinely don't know.
We had to go and pursue. We had to go out and fucking be like, oh, I think she's cute. Let me go and ask her to dance. And you go to dance. Get it back in your chest. Go away.
No.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
So you saying like, oh, I fell in love with somebody and blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't even get past the...
Must be nice
because I never got past the crush phase. Damn. I would spend 2 weeks of going up and like kind of being like, oh, well maybe blah blah blah,
really?
Brushing it, sitting next to each other on the bus, that whole thing going
the
out
long game.
Or like, and then like holding hands once and maybe a kiss on the cheek and then you're back the fuck home. There was no aspect of, oh, I'm about to get a blowjob.
Oh my God.
You know, there was no blowjobs by Belizeans.
You guys were also...
No Belizean is going down on us, okay?
Listen, but here's the other thing.
My love story is like exactly like this movie, but if at the end Jack Black came to the thing and was like, hey, I got back with Maggie. It's awesome.
Yeah. And that's
Kate Winslet's
and
just
then it's
sat
toxic
alone.
And awful.
That would be
and
my love
break
story.
Out of his cycle. I will say, obviously, my UK story, like I thought I was in love. It wasn't fucking love. I was a teenager, but you're a
teenager and you still got to have that experience.
But
and that
this is also
story.
Coming from, this didn't happen in Florida for me.
Right.
This was a huge, this was my movie moment. This was like the big love. This was my first introduction. Like, oh
it's
my
beautiful.
God, this must be what it is. Funny story, like 2 years later, that same boy came to America and I was in a different relationship with the quarterback of the football team. No big deal.
Sick.
And he came to a party with us and he smoked weed
Pretty
for
cool.
the first time and got so fucked up that he threw up and passed out. And I had to call his aunt, AKA the woman who raised me, to come pick him up. So fuck you, and you know who you are.
Little Belizean bitch.
Little UK tolerance can handle the drogue that came from the South.
Can't even handle a little weed.
Can't even handle a little Dutch master. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hit us with a guilt, and it's one that really delighted me. I enjoyed the movie very much, so this is all from a place of teasing. So Cameron Diaz is great in this movie, but I don't think that she totally nails pithy dialogue, and this movie wants so badly in the beginning to make her a fast-talking New Yorker, and they even cast Ed Burns as her love interest, who's like a New Yorker talking like this, and they're in fucking Brentwood, and I don't know why they're talking about it, but she's literally like an anxious, to me, Cameron Diaz is like if you took Kelsey and me and put us together. It's like my neurosis in Kelsey's like girl boss body.
I did a little camera
beat. Your neurosis in my bossness. I mean, listen, I understand it. And I also do not.
And I don't like
it's an abomination. Honestly.
She literally goes, she says the word shtuk, okay? She fucking drops the Yiddish word for, in no fucking world is Cameron Diaz talking about shtupin, okay? They wrote her like a, and I'm sorry to evoke the name, they wrote her like a Woody Allen character, and it is not who Cameron Diaz should be playing. It's very weird.
I think she switches once she gets out of her work phase.
Yeah, once she leaves LA, she becomes this very,
she actually loses everything that we liked about her, which was that she was like a strong, independent woman. She becomes this, like,
I was about to say that. Like, I thought the whole movie was going to be her, like, just being weirded out with how homey everything was because of the way she got out of the car. She's like, could you drive me down the lane? And he's like, no, fuck you.
Oh, it's so funny.
And then she had to drag her shit. And then that's the end of that storyline. That's the end of that character trait. It's just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm just enjoying my holiday now.
Yeah. Well, she's like, oh, this bathtub, like, so cute. Gonna figure that out later. Like, she's like, I came here to be English, whatever that means, but then immediately falls into it when, you know, she's faced with the relationship stuff. Is she just kind of, we don't get to see her be the boss, making air quotes, the man in the pants.
She's just dating somebody.
Yeah. It was troublesome, which is troublesome for all.
Something that really made me laugh. So we talked about Nancy Myers. I mean, this is towards the end of her illustrious career, and she is one of the greats. I can only dream to even sniff 10% of her greatness. But you know that you are kind of out of touch at this point in your career of writing, where you're no longer tapped into what real people do when you have the Santa Ana winds as your meet cute. She's like, she just, all she knows so at this point in her life is Los Angeles. She doesn't know anything
else.
She
doesn't even know Los Angeles outside of television.
Yeah.
Outside of the weather.
Outside of the way,
it's just like the Santa Ana winds. It's just like, you barely feel those bitches. Like, nobody cares about the Santa Ana winds.
Fucking windy.
And I wouldn't even mention it. No. I would just be like, oh, it's windy today.
Yeah.
The wind machine was on overdrive in this movie. They brought in fucking 8 fans for every outdoor scene. It's never once been like that here.
There's one scene that I know you two will get because you're LAers, but it's when Kate Winslet first arrives to Los Angeles and she's going down the PCH the wrong way.
Yeah.
She's going from the LAX. The fuck?
Very annoying.
I was just like, no!
You're going the wrong way!
Where are you going?
That's an LA specific anger that only us three will get, but
do you think we're fucking stupid, Nancy? Do you think that she landed at LAX and took a helicopter up the PCH and then drove south?
Don't blame
south?
The writer. That is 100% like a director or the set, the location.
Oh, she wrote it and directed.
Right.
I blame her both.
Fuck.
That's right. She did direct this. Well, The Holiday.
Well, I'm curious, Garrick, as an Angeleno, I find that now that I live here, the cinematic, we've talked about this a lot, but the cinematic romanticization of Los Angeles, one creates such a false image of LA, right? That you get here and you drive down the coast,
like
when
in
you land at the airport,
where you get to have a hotel that's on the beach and you're just like schlepping around, or you're just, you're bumming it. Yeah. And you get to just stay there.
That's $500 a night.
I was going to say $1,300
at least. Like a motel like in Redondo is $500
right.
a night.
Yeah. But they were in Malibu.
They were in Malibu, baby. That's, you're right.
I mean, this movie presents the most privileged, richest kind of pinhole version of this city that you could possibly ever experience.
I think the accuracy in it is that's what these Hollywood folk live like.
Yeah.
That's where they live. They live in Brentwood. Sure. They live in this, like, where Jack Black was living. I was like, oh, that's completely believable. Honestly, I would switch their houses. I would say that Jack Black's character would live in Cameron Diaz's house, and Cameron Diaz would live in Jack Black's house. That's how, like, well off a lot of these people are.
Yep.
And you will drive up to their houses and you're like, I didn't even know this. Fuck, I've lived here my entire life. I didn't even know this shit existed. What the fuck? How is this behind a hedge? I just discovered Sherman Oaks for the first time, and I'm driving around. And I'm like, this shit is beautiful.
Yeah.
Why are you, you guys have been hiding this the whole time? Yeah. Fuck you.
It's
fuck you. This
all
is
all of our friends moved out there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, speaking of location and like the Brentwoodness of it all, can we please talk about the best pleasure of like in the whole thing, which is that of Kate / Amanda's neighbor, Arthur, the old timey Hollywood writer who she befriends,
so
because
cute.
He can't walk straight in an office, so she has to help him walk home in his little walker. And then she finds out he's won a fucking Oscar for screenwriting, that he added the word kid to Here's Looking at You, Kid in Casablanca. That character was the fucking cutest.
Yeah.
Absolutely adorable. And there's this scene towards the end when he's afraid. He doesn't want to go to his award show because he's like, it's just going to be like 10 people there. They open the door. There's a standing ovation for him. And like, I didn't tear up.
I
thought about it.
I was very close. I was like, this is beautiful.
And do you want to hear something even more beautiful about that? So that actor, Eli Wallach, is actually known to be one of the greatest character actors to ever appear on stage. He started his career in the 40s and he has over 90 film credits. And so that character that he played, he very much was already part of that era of Hollywood.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Wow.
He's won
Emmys. God. Do you know who he
Eli
is?
Eli Wallach. I just told you.
Holy shit. No, he's the fucking ugly in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Oh my God.
He was also in
Doll. Wait, is this real?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're on IMDb.
That's incredible.
He was also in...
Well, I just saw a photo of him. Hold on.
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
I literally just had my world shook.
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, The Magnificent Seven, The Godfather Part 3, Baby Doll, The Godfather Part 2.
He's a fucking legend.
How the West Was Won, The Deep, Tough Guys, The Associate, How to Steal a Million, The Ghost Rider, let's see what else. Genghis Khan.
That adorable man is the ugly.
Well, look at what he used to look like, because this... Like,
yeah, he was the ugly.
That's him. For all of our viewers listening to this, you can't see. I'm holding up a picture.
Well, they talked about Ennio Morricone in this movie
as well. It was like a nod to itself, which again brings me back to, how did this movie get rated so bad? It's Nancy Meyer haters. It's people that hate love. It's people that can't stand to be vulnerable for a moment and allow the cheese to just be cheese.
Do you want me to give you a real answer?
Okay, fine.
Well, it's just that, like, you know... Look, I liked it, but I didn't love it. The movie was just too long. It was just like, okay, I get
when
it.
When I tell you I was devastated it was ending, I needed to know what happened with Jude Law and Cameron Diaz's character. I needed to know what happened with Jack Black.
I thought that was a good ending. I think the ending was strong. It just meandered in the middle.
Feel the way you feel about Over the Garden Wall. And you wish, like, you don't need it, but you're like, damn, I'd fucking live to see another season. Fine.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever other shit you fucking love. Yeah. This is how I feel about, like, I genuinely could have used a sequel to this movie.
You know what I would love a sequel for? Mm. Mayor of Easttown.
All right. Thanks for sharing.
There you go. I would love to see Kate Winslet be American again.
Aw.
I will say I'm so grateful that they have the ending scene where they show that they all met up in London for their romance, because the first thing that I was going to say is that these couples don't last. One of my all-time favorite movies, The Apartment, directed by the incredible Billy Wilder. It's just one of the true great romance movies. It's sad, it's dark, it's fucked up, it's incredible. And at the end, the characters get together. And Billy Wilder, who's one of the best writers of all time, he was asked what happens to the couple after the movie.
No.
And he goes, oh, they probably break up in about 3 months.
Oh, my God.
It's like, that is the untold truth of every rom-com, right? Like, they have this incredible moment.
But it's
not going to last. But in this movie, it does.
But like,
I think it's really nice that they set up that they don't. They probably don't get back together.
Well, it's just a holiday romance.
It's just like,
realistically...
Cameron
Diaz has to be in LA to do her work.
Yeah.
Jude Law isn't going to take his two daughters away from their grandmothers, who's the only support system, not at least until they're like 18.
Right.
So
maybe Kate Winslet and Jack Black. Winslet moves to America.
That's what I was thinking.
Let's go,
she
baby.
She could write from anywhere.
Yeah.
And she becomes Arthur's caretaker, maybe, helps him write, polish up a few scripts. He introduces her to a bunch of big execs.
And then
she becomes a screenwriter.
And she becomes Nancy.
She's Nancy Meyers. Wow, we just wrote the ending.
Wow.
You're welcome, people.
Wow. Did you notice when Kate Winslet went to Cameron Diaz's house and there's this huge wall of DVDs?
Oh, my God, I know what you're going to say!
She owned Geekly on DVD.
My eyes went directly to the fact that the one DVD that stuck out
was
Geekly.
That's so funny.
And she keeps them in alphabetical order.
The movie that she chose to watch was Punch Drunk Love, which I'm like, okay,
she's
Kate Winslet.
She's cool.
How about this? They fucking house swapped. Okay, sure. You get your car. Yeah. You get all their stuff. They house swapped a dog.
That is literally what I do when I go out of town. It's a new thing, and I've made a TikTok about it. You guys should all sign up. It's called Trusted House Sitters, and it's like yearly membership, and they vet you and they train you and all this stuff. You can go stay at people's houses all over the fucking world for free if you watch their dogs. So I'm like, I go, no way this is so good to be true. I go on, and the first thing I see is a mansion in Malibu, and all I have to do is watch her two crusty old white dogs. And I'm like, I can stay at your fucking house for free and have dogs with me? Bitch, I should be paying y'all a lot of money for this experience.
Yeah.
Old people love crusty dogs. Yeah.
But that's a service. That's like a brilliant business plan. Business model.
But I don't understand how that anybody would pay for anything there.
What do you mean?
Like, where does the money come in for?
Like, the membership to be vetted, and you have to, like, be... You can't be a creep or, like, have...
Yeah.
Drug and animal charges against you or something. That's a part of the service that you pay a monthly. And
Fair.
They connect you with people.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Brits, do you say happy Christmas?
You would have learned that
do
in
you
Harry
fucking-
Potter 1.
Yeah, they do. They do. It was a culture shock for every
That is
millennial.
Unacceptable.
That's why I've only bought 3 movies. The 2 most Christmassy Harry Potter films.
To hear them
and
say happy.
And Holiday. Yeah, because they all say happy Christmas. Happy Christmas, Harry. Happy Christmas, Ron.
I'm not a nationalistic person. I'm not even a Christmas lover, but I am ready to throw down and have another revolutionary war
over happy
that
Christmas.
Fact.
But
Fuck
we
y'all.
Say happy everything else. Happy Christmas Easter, happy Thanksgiving, happy birthday.
Yeah, it sounds gross.
Yeah, Merry Christmas just flows off the
happy
tongue.
Happy Hanukkah
I feel
works.
More cultured when I say happy Christmas.
I don't think it works in an American accent. I think that's
happy Christmas.
Thing.
Happy Christmas, Ari. That was pretty good.
That was bad.
Yeah, that works. I'm on board with that. That's because you have to swallow the
appy.
H. You can't actually say it. You have to say appy.
Appy. Christmas, Ari. And it worked because it's Jude fucking Law. That man could call me a twat and I'd be like, okay, whatever you say.
There was, I forgot what movie it was, but I was just like, Jude Law is handsome.
Yeah, but isn't he like a piece of shit?
Oh, is he?
I think he's a piece of shit.
Don't you say
remember
that.
Remember the whole nanny scandal?
What are you talking about?
You don't remember the nanny scandal where he cheated on his wife with a nanny?
No.
And it was like a big deal?
But he's so good at I Heart Huckabees.
Did you guys watch that?
Yeah.
Kelsey, I'm curious for you. Where do you like, okay, this movie has two heartthrobs, Jack Black, Jude Law. They're both standing on two sides of the aisle. Who's getting your rose? Oof,
how dare you?
Who are you,
Cameron
who are you
Diaz,
going for?
She's hot as shit in this movie. She looks incredible. Her skin is A+. Her hair is so perfectly coiffed. Those baby blues. Her outfits for 2006, bitch?
Yeah.
Serve.
Fantastic.
I loved her in this. But if you're going to make me choose a man.
The fucking apples of her cheeks. The little fucking crab apple cheeks that she has.
I think I'd have more in common with Jack Black. He's funny. he's goofy and he's in the business and he's passionate. Like, no offense to dads out there, but no fucking thanks.
We stand.
What about you guys? Who are you choosing?
The movie was Sherlock Holmes 2 when I was just like, oh, Jude Law's handsome.
That's what it took?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I get, this is it.
The first one, he's not super handsome, but in the second one, I was like,
Cameron Diaz, immediately.
Yeah.
There's without question. Yeah. Cameron Diaz is one of the hottest people on the planet.
Damn, what's she up to these days?
She married one of the people from Good Charlotte, and she decided she doesn't want to act anymore.
Wow.
Her fucking cheeks. I have a thing for high cheekbones.
Yeah, she's got them.
My God.
That smile, megawatt.
Also, we stand a holiday movie that has a fucking Hanukkah scene. Yeah. Love that shit. We exist too.
Latkes,
makes
wine.
Me feel all warm and bubbly. So we got some fun facts. One, this movie was supposedly written with these actors in mind, which totally blows my mind because Cameron Diaz, again, is not who you write Fast Talking New Yorker for. That's what it said. Oh. I don't believe it. I don't buy it.
I like it.
I feel like Jack Black's agent was like, we're going to get you in a rom-com, bro. And Nancy Meyers like, all right,
honestly,
come on.
Honestly, I would have liked to see him in more rom-coms because
I
want to
see him in so many rom-coms.
Yeah, he's just
I would have loved
to
see him in like Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I feel like he was in that movie, even though I know he wasn't. It feels like he was for some strange reason. It was his vibe.
I think it's because the poster has the same font as a lot of movies that he's in.
Maybe that weird connection.
Yeah.
That's really good, though.
A few months after this movie came out, the popularity of house swapping was through the roof, so much so that the police of England had to issue a warning against it due to identity fraud and murder.
No. Yikes. See, that's where you pay a service and a fee.
Also, in London, if it was murder, that means you're getting stabbed because they like stab each other and prick each other because they don't have any
They don't
guns.
Do guns there. Man, that's unsettling.
Yeah.
I got a sick security system, so don't fuck with me. I will fuck you up. Don't ever check.
We talked about the Dustin Hoffman cameo on an episode of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Dusty revealed that cameo was unplanned. He was driving by a Blockbuster.
What?
He saw film equipment and cameras and doing what Dustin Hoffman does. Dusty said, hey, what's happening? And Nancy Meyers was like, oh, Dustin, what's up? Do you want to be in a scene? They came up with a scene. It made it into the movie.
Fucking sick. Dustin Hoffman is my fucking guy,
That is insane.
Ever since Hook came out, I was like, this is my fucking dude. I watched Hook so many times. Same. It would go Ace Ventura and When Nature Calls. Hook.
Oh my God. We had the same childhood.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Just on opposite ends of the fucking country.
And spectrum entirely.
Exactly. But
holy
it's just,
shit. That's so cool.
I've loved that man for my entire life. Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman.
That's it.
Jim Carrey. those are my three trios.
Speaking of Jim Carrey, all four lead actors have worked with Jim Carrey. How fun.
Wow.
That thing about Dustin Hoffman is so crazy because that would be a production fucking nightmare if it was anybody else. Like, I bet you even some AD and producer on set, unit production manager was going like, we just can't fucking throw a scene. Where's the legal on that? Is he going to sign a paperwork? Like, there's no way that happened easily.
But that was probably like back in the
day.
The
assistant director who is in charge of schedule losing their fucking mind
like, no, guys,
over that.
Doing a favor. It's really cool. Watch me do this thing. Hey. That was my impression of Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, but like, what were they filming in the
blockbuster? That was a good one.
Him being cute.
No,
but
scene.
Like, I mean, if they were already set up, they were setting up the film equipment and all that stuff. I guess they were already filming the walking around scene in the blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And then
it wasn't a big deal to just throw him in.
I guess not.
You know,
look, Dusty's a one take man. All right. Throw him in, throw him out. Bada bing, bada boom.
But there's also something real fucking cocky about being Dustin Hoffman, seeing some cameras set up in fucking Burbank one night when he's walking his dog and just going, I'm going to insert myself.
Listen, man, I would have done the exact same thing. If I'm Dustin Hoffman.
I do the same thing all the time. They're like,
we're going to call the cops.
Yeah. I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
I would 100% just like walk in and be like, oh, what's going on here? Blah, blah, blah. And then just watch like an extra freak out and be like, yeah, this fucking Dustin Hoffman, he just walked. And especially this is, when did this movie come out?
2006.
Like 2006. Yeah, he's still in.
He's very cool.
Very still. Cool, very famous. Yeah. Like, that's the same shit with, what's, Caddyshack boy.
Fucking the Community guy.
So you're talking about Rodney Dangerfield?
Oh my God, not Rodney Dangerfield either.
Bill Murray?
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray's fucking cool. He threw a bottle of wine through my window once on the highway.
Really?
Yeah.
Sick.
Mm-hmm. And he said, nobody will believe you, and then drove away.
There you go. Mm-hmm. It's that same shit.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, cool. I'm just going
to. That's what he does.
I used to have
everybody.
A sticker of his face on the back of my car that said Chai Vaughn, and he was driving next to me.
How many times do we have to hear Bill Murray doing nobody will believe you stories until we all say, maybe Bill Murray has a problem?
Bill Murray 100% has a problem.
Oh, Bill fucking Murray.
Because I've heard so many of those stories. I'm like, this dude's drunk on
this
power.
This guy's like absolutely abusing it, hurting no one.
Yeah.
But just like, come on.
But it's the same shit.
It's like cool. Yeah. You got a problem.
He's going behind bars. He's bartending. Yeah. He's learning. He's living his life. I think that he's using fame the correct way.
There you go. Unproblematic.
Yeah, it's there just like, go. Oh, look at this silly thing I could do. I can just walk onto a set. Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
I got power.
Yeah.
So is now the time where we must decide, is this movie a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? Garrick, I'm curious your opinion. You want to go first?
I don't know. God. I think it's a... I think it is...
You wanted to say it?
A pleasurable guilty pleasure.
Because take it.
It is... I think it's right in between those two. Of guilty pleasure and pleasure, where if I was rating it on a scale, I would add a 0.5 at the end.
Wow.
Because it's not a bad movie. It's not like a complete waste of your time.
No.
But then it's also not good enough to ride for like really hard, where you're just like, this is, oh my God, I fucking love this movie so much. So I can't even call it a guilty pleasure either. So it's really weird. It's just like a nice time.
Stop it. Say it's a fucking pleasure.
It's a movie. It's a nice
film.
That's what it is.
Okay. I'm taking that as a fucking pleasure.
For me. And you know what? I'm so glad that it means the world to you and to so many of our viewers. And Kelsey, tell me why.
Okay.
Take it home.
If you love the Grand Budapest Hotel, and also the whimsy and story and love connection that movie gives you, then let me tell you what, bitch. Put on some cozy motherfucking socks. Heat up your Mission Chill by Zadiko tea. Get you a pumpkin nut cookie. Cozy up with yourself, with that date from Bumble. You can get your lover of a long time, or you can sit around the fire with your family, because you are going to feel fucking good for an hour and a half. Thank you, Nancy Myers. This movie is without a doubt a pleasure.
Nice.
Period.
Nice.
I want to go home and watch it again.
Oh.
I'm at Courtney on all the things.
I'm Gary Bernard on all the things.
Oy.
And until next time, you really thought those kids were
Oh my God.